listening to WGXC 90.7, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill, and this month's edition of The Score. I am Lisa Thomas.
I am Margot Pelletier.
Today we are featuring the work of legendary film composer John Williams. At the top of the show, you heard the main title and first victim from the 1975 blockbuster film Jaws. When composer John Williams first played the main theme of Jaws for the then young director Steven Spielberg, Spielberg was unsure of the composition, but was quickly won over to the theme and has been quoted as saying that much of the success of Jaws was due to the eerie two-note composition created by Williams. The two have now been working together for close to 40 years, and their long-standing collaboration began on Spielberg's 1974 film, Sugarland Express.
We decided to feature the composer John Williams in part to celebrate music from summer blockbusters, and about half of the music we will be playing for you today is from summer blockbusters. The term blockbuster appeared first in American press in the early 1940s, describing the largest single aerial bombs capable of destroying a whole city block. Some histories later on cite it as referring to a play that is so successful that competing theaters are busted and driven out of business. Today, blockbuster generally speaks to the size of the narrative and the scale of the production.
And that song that we just played from Jaws, Margot, I think was one of the first blockbusters out of Hollywood. And I know when Spielberg was making Jaws, they didn't anticipate that it was going to be the large success that it became. And so after Jaws was released, it became a model for how to make summer films. You just heard a portion of the main theme for the 1974 film Sugarland Express, with music composed by John Williams and performed by the Boston Pops Orchestra. The theme also features a solo by legendary jazz musician John Baptiste, better known as Toots Thielemans, on harmonica.
The film is based on a true story that partly took place in Sugarland, Texas. Spielberg was familiar with Williams' work on Mark Rydell's adaptation of William Faulkner's 1969, The Reverses. Spielberg felt that Williams could capture the right sound for his lighthearted convict-on-the-run drama, which starred Goldie Hawn.
Perhaps one of the scores that John Williams is most famous for is the score he created for Star Wars. In a 2010 interview for the NEA blog Artwork, there was an interview conducted by Josephine Reed with John Williams, and he had this to say about his experience working on the music for the Star Wars trilogy.
Well, the Star Wars experience has been, I think, unique in the film music history. Because of this simple reason, the first Star Wars film that I did with George Lucas, I had no idea it was going to be a second Empire Strikes Back. I never had heard of such a thing. And I thought that Star Wars was just over and completed when I put the baton down, the end of the first recording. And a year or so later, he rang up and said, I have the next installment. But we need the old music from the first film, but we also need new music for new characters and new situations. So a process started that lasted over, I guess it's 20 plus years, of adding bits and pieces of material to a musical tapestry that started to pile up off the floor. It's quite an extensive library of music, each film having over 2 hours of music. So there's about 12 to 14 hours, maybe 15 hours of orchestral music composed over a period of not 2 years, but 20. And that, I think, is a unique opportunity for a composer, one that I never expected to have. And it gave me an opportunity to go back over and perhaps improve some of the things I'd done. And what's fascinating is to me that maybe some of the newer music isn't any better or as good as the earlier ones. That's one's own personal inner struggle, inner voice. You know, when you write something when you're 40 years old, you wouldn't write it the same way when one is 70, and vice versa. One may be better than the other, or a different kind of energy, or a different kind of acuity, whatever will go with it. So it's been a fascinating journey.
Composer John Williams was born on February 8th in 1932 on Long Island, New York. You just heard his composition, Star Wars Main Title, which was performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. His father was Johnny Williams, a jazz percussionist who played with the Raymond Scott Quintet. While Williams is skilled at a variety of 20th century compositional idioms, his style may best be described as a form of neo-romanticism, inspired especially by the compositions of Richard Wagner and the concept of reoccurring themes that are associated with a particular person, place, or idea.
Williams is the second most nominated person after Walt Disney at the Academy Awards, and I believe to date has won 5, if not 6 Academy Awards, plus a whole slew of other awards. He studied at UCLA with the Italian composer Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. And we're going to play another track for you now that some of you may recognize, and we want to see if you can guess what it is. So listen, and we'll announce it after the song.
Thank you.
So if you guessed that that was the main theme to the film Superman from 1978, you got it right. So pay up, whoever lost the bet there.
And it is not surprising that John Williams was hired to write the music for the Olympics.
Right, which is also a lot of horns. He's known for those big horn sections. Anyway, so back to John Williams, a little bit of his bio. In 1952, he was drafted into the Air Force, where he conducted and arranged for the Air Force Band. When he got out of the Air Force in 1955, he attended Juilliard School of Music in New York City, studying the piano with Rosina Klavin, and worked as a jazz pianist in clubs and in studios in New York. Williams' score to Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, was selected in 2005 by the American Film Institute as the greatest American movie score of all time. His scores for Jaws and E.T., which you'll hear later, also appear on this list. He is the only composer to have three scores on that list. From 1980 to 1995, Williams was the principal conductor for the Boston Pops Orchestra.
Produced by George Lucas and directed by Steven Spielberg, the 1981 Raiders of the Lost Ark, retitled Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark in 99, became the year's top-grossing film and remains one of the highest-grossing films ever made. Its budget was $18 million, and it grossed $384 million.
Can I get a little of that excess money? I have another film to make.
If you have a track record like Spielberg and Lucas.
Spielberg, yeah. If you're listening, Mark and Lisa are here.
Raiders March, which we're going to play for you in a moment, came to symbolize Indiana Jones, and therefore it was used in the next three films of the Indiana Jones series. Originally, Williams wrote two themes to represent Indiana, and he wanted Spielberg to choose one. When Spielberg heard the themes, he liked them both so much that he insisted that Williams put them together, and Raiders March was born.
Thank you.
You just heard Raiders March from the summer blockbuster Raiders of the Lost Ark. That music was composed by the composer we're featuring today, John Williams. It was performed by the City of Prague Philharmonic. You are listening to 90.7, this month's edition of The Score. And as we said before, we are featuring mostly summer blockbusters whose music is composed by John Williams. The film Raiders of the Lost Ark was amply praised by most critics for its technological triumph, but also for its great sense of humor and the droll style of the characters. However, the late nonconformist film critic Pauline Kael said she found the film to be a machine-tooled adventure from a pair of creators who think just like the marketing division. And I found this insight so interesting and honestly think it only could have come from a woman. And as a filmmaker myself, I find it very revealing in terms of the film's economic success.
As Williams saw it, the challenge of scoring E.T. was in creating music that would make the viewer sympathetic to a creature as odd-looking as E.T. He achieved this by using different keys played simultaneously, known as polytonality, and by emphasizing instruments like the harp, the piano, the celesta, and other keyboards as well as percussion, all of which were meant to suggest E.T.'s childlike nature. I think he got it, and I absolutely fell in love with E.T., as did the rest of the world, I think. And we really wanted to get the soundbite for you, but we have a little bit of debate about what it is, but we're going to say it. Ready, Margo?
Yeah.
E.T., go home.
Phone home. Phone home.
And I think it's go home, and it's derivative from
home.
The Wizard of Oz.
It's phone home. You guys are with me, right? So another interesting fact to know is that the film E.T. was released exactly 30 years ago this weekend. So enjoy the theme music from E.T.
Thank you.
terms of film history, film scoring history, E.T. marks a very rare event. The final chase farewell scene, which a lot of you may remember, those of you who have seen the film, where the young boy has E.T. on his handlebars and they start to ride away
in the
bicycle becomes airborne, which, let's see, the film was made in 82. That was probably the first time a bicycle had become airborne in a movie.
Maybe the only time. I don't know. Anyway. Maybe in Harry Potter. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, the rare...
The most famous time, for sure.
Yeah. The rare event is that the scene was actually re-edited to conform to the composer's musical interpretation.
If you are enjoying the show today, and hopefully you are, I wanted just to mention that you can see John Williams live pretty much every summer. He does a lot of these compositions that you're hearing today over at Tanglewood, where they have, every summer they have this like annual film night where he comes down and composes. And Margot and I went a few years back. It's all handicap accessible over there at Tanglewood, so you can bring your mom, your dad, or whoever, your grandparents. And it's a really, really great time. And the music is actually set to footage from the various films. So it's a really, really fun night. And people bring picnics and out on the lawn watching John Williams compose. I think it's usually the Boston Pops Orchestra. Anyway, so we have another track from you from the 1989 Oliver Stone film composed by Williams, Born on the 4th of July. So enjoy.
for those of you who were, for those of us, I should say, who were anti-war activists in the 1970s, and partly out of our ignorance and certainly out of our frustration, we saw the returning vets from Vietnam as some form of the enemy. Oliver Stone's film, Born on the 4th of July, was both a rude awakening and a very powerful education. Its effectiveness in rendering a heartbreaking contradiction in a manner that evokes the deepest empathy is equally due to Williams' score. In Modern Film Track Review, they put it this way: Williams' sense of translating alienation and heroicism into remorseful and sorrowful solo performances in the orchestra is unmatched. His instrument of choice here is the trumpet, played by Tim Morrison. It is in these slightly harsh but ultra-noble trumpet solos that William flawlessly captures the concept of alienation, and he is not about to let you forget its effect.
Ron Howard's Far and Away was shot in 70mm format, like Hollywood's greatest epics, the way they used to be. Williams took up this expansive mode in his scoring of the film. He wrote and worked with three major themes and an equal number of supportive motifs. The story, having both an Irish and a Western tilt, gave him the opportunity to write for several genres at once and to incorporate the Chieftains, a traditional Irish band from Dublin.
Thank you.
that was Far and Away, performed by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Musical theorist Frank Lehman says of Williams' score for Far and Away, every human emotion is captured in his score. The agony of defeat, the excitement of ambition, and the subtleties of love.
Again, in Modern Soundtrack Review, this is what they say of Williams in terms of his score for Schindler's List. It has been argued that Schindler's List is Williams' greatest score in his lengthy career. Its success on screen and in album exists in Williams' ability to precisely mirror Spielberg's own passionate restraint in this production process, which I found very ironic considering the enormity of the theme that Schindler's List is imparting. And this score is, in fact, one of his least complex scores. He was introduced to the famed violinist Isaac Perlman through this score, and both the film and the score do represent what was horrific in life with beauty and a dignity that transcends it to art.
Thank you.
That was the main theme to Schindler's List. We have one more composition by John Williams to play for you and some parting words by him. But as always, we want to remind you to please make sure you stay tuned for Jackie Thomas and his wonderful show coming up 12 o'clock. And the show is The Sound of Freedom.
So until next month, be good to yourself, be better to your neighbor, and before you do anything, make sure you know the score.
Music, it's like breathing, is an important part of our human experience. We use music for our births and for our wedding and for our death and for our celebrations and for our wars and for our victories. And we don't understand, that it is a part of our humanity. It's we need it like we need to have share language in the same way. And that's why it's so important that it's taught. Children who study music learn a different metric system. They learn to calculate things orally, intervals and so on. Do, re, mi's are giving a special kind of instruction to the brain. And performance is a way of setting aside individuality. And you sit in an orchestra or join a chorus and you cease to become an individual. And now you're part of a unit that performs in a very special way. So music performance is an important part of social interaction.